All right, so how are we doing here? Ready for September? It's here. What do we got? Go ahead.
You had mentioned that I think last week that the goal has been to prepare every player to be ready to play on opening day. And I think if I heard you right, you said at some point that'll change, but we're not there yet. I'm curious if that point has arrived yet where it does change.
Well, I mean, we still got a long way to go on that. We don't even have a, 53-man roster. So, we're definitely working on Pittsburgh, but there's a lot of loose ends.
Natural follow-up, just with the uncertainty with the quarterbacks, how does that affect how you work with them in practice? Is there any change with them at this time?
I mean, we do what we think is best for the team at every position, so
Coach, we'll keep doing. If you could offer any advice to a judge down in New York, what would it be today?
Yeah, I really am just focused on trying to get our team ready to go. That's my job. Good. He's had a good, Deion had a good spring, had a good off-season program, did a nice job in OTAs, and, he's learned really all of our offense, all three downs, plus some stuff in the kicking game. He's done a good job. He's picked things up well. He's been healthy for the most part, other than had 1 week there in training camp, but he's been out. He's gotten a lot of work in, and that's been good. For a guy who missed the season last year, so he's done a good job. I like him.
When you look at a guy like that who hasn't played really, been banged up for a little while, does that factor into this when you're trying to decide who to keep people? Do you look at their injury history? Or do you kind of fresh start?
That's a tough one. It's I think in the end, you just got to, as I said before, take all the information and just put it into a composite and do what you think's best. But we had guys that were hurt in college that haven't been hurt in the NFL. We had guys that were never hurt in college that have been hurt in the NFL. We had guys that, I think if it's a chronic injury, that's one thing. If it's an injury, then that's... those heal and then they come back and they play, and usually it's not the same thing, but some guys have more issues than others, so I don't know. That's a tough one. It's a case by case thing. I don't know if there's any right formula to it.
Dominique Easterbill is, I guess, one of those guys that has really battled back from something in college that he too many injuries. How hard has he worked, and how much of an example does he set for guys in that locker room that work back from injury and get to a high level?
Look, almost everybody that's played this game's had to deal with something somewhere along the line. So, he's done a good job, and he's played well this training camp. So that's been good. But, I think if you go to pretty much every guy in the locker room, everybody's had something somewhere along the line. So, unfortunately, that's part of high competitive athletics, Everybody's pushing themselves to the limits, and sometimes there's a setback.
Pretty much all your guys in there have said the whole situation with Tom hasn't been a distraction for them, but do you think there's a sense of wanting a resolution just to have it over with for the rest of your players?
Right now we're just focused on going out to practice and working on the things we're doing today.
Well, you evaluate players' consideration in the practice squad. How do you balance, having kind of a reserve to fortify a position and also having enough guys that can help you carry your team on a weekly basis, as a scout team?
That's a good question. In a way, the players that are on the practice squad are in the same position as the players who are on the roster but not active. Obviously you can protect the players that are not active that are on the roster, and you don't have as much protection. But either way, they don't play in the game. They practice but don't play in the game. So in that way, it's similar. So your depth really is those inactive players and the players who are on the practice squad who are also inactive, even though they're on a little different list, if you will. So sometimes that's a team management thing. Sometimes it's there are other reasons for it. But in the end, that's where it is. And then there are some players who are your depth who aren't on your roster. And they're not on anybody's roster. They're, you know, available now, whether they'll be available in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. That's, you know, that's a whole other story. But so it's a combination of all those places. And honestly, there are other players on other practice squads that are potentially available to you on your roster. They're not available to you on practice squad because you can't go practice squad to practice squad, but you could go from another practice squad to your roster just like somebody else could go from our practice squad to their roster. So that's all in play. How do you find the right guys? What's the right mix and all that? Some of it's the individual player. Some of it's the circumstances that are surrounding him. Some of it's maybe your overall read on what the league perception is of that player or your position or whatever it happens to be, and just try to do what you think's best. The exception rules on that for the two practice squad players add a little bit of a twist there, because there are practice squad players and then there are practice squad exception players. So you're limited to how many exception players you can have. So you know. They're there to a point, but only a couple of them, and then the rest of them have to come from the other pool. So that's a little bit of another thing for consideration. If you have three exception guys you really want, but you can only have two of them, then which two is it, and so forth and so on.
Seriously considering a particular player for the practice squad? Is it this week? Is it earlier in camp?
Could be the draft. Could be a guy that you want to work with that you feel like's probably got too far to go to realistically be ready. I mean, you never know. Look, we don't try to cut the team in April. I'm not saying that. But realistically, you take players or you bring them onto your team, whether it's draft choices or sometimes it's college free agents, guys that aren't drafted, and with the kind of thought that, it'd be hard for this guy to make our team, but a year from now, with a year of development and so forth, it might be a different story. And so that's a player you want to work with, and it goes back as far as that. It's certainly a lot easier to get one of your players onto your practice squad than it is to get another player onto your practice squad. So the fact that, a team has a player, a team's been working with that player, they release the player at the 53-man cut, unless another team claims them and then they have to carry them, which obviously frees up somebody else, but unless they do that, then pretty high likelihood that you would be able to put that player on your practice squad. Not 100%, but pretty high. So guys that we see get released that we would like to have on our practice squad, the question is, how are you going to get them there? You could claim them, put them on your roster, and then maybe move them later, or maybe you have to carry the guy as a roster player, but, ideally that isn't maybe what you want to do, whereas it's easier to get our players from our team to our practice squad just like it is for everybody else. So if you really feel strongly about a guy and you want to put him on your roster, then that's a whole other story. Then that's, then he's going on a roster. But, in the pool of, 320 practice squad players throughout the league, those guys are, Bob just talked about, they're an important part of your team's depth or every team's depth, and so you want the best ones you can get there, but sometimes it's hard to get them if they're not on your team, or harder to get them.
We've already had a handful of practices, three preseason games. Is there still time for a player to, earn a roster spot in these final two practices?
Yeah, I think we still have a lot of decisions to make. I mean, we haven't. That there are a lot of decisions that we still need to make, so what will affect those decisions? I don't know, a practice, a game, other circumstances that right now maybe aren't even in play. Maybe something will happen over the next few days that, right now we're not taking into consideration, but we will have to. So Yeah, I mean, and again, 53-man spots are one thing, practice squad spots are another thing. I mean, there's, you know, you're talking about going from, you know, 75 to 53 plus 8. Maybe there's an injured player in there somewhere. I mean, it's really not that many. It's not as big as it seems, to put it that way.
The offense didn't do much of anything. How do you evaluate the Tom-led offense over the 12 drives in the preseason games when you have to consider the other factors of who's out there and, more specifically, who's not been out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think we really worry too much about who is or who isn't out there. It's each individual player, you know, doing better at what they're doing. So that's – and coach, that's all of us. You know, we all need to do a better job in all areas, offense, defense, special teams, coaching staff, the players. There's a lot of room for improvement from all of us individually. So if that happens, then collectively there'll be improvement too.
Got a chance to see Brandon Bolden play a little bit more running back against the Panthers the other night. It looked like I know he's done that obviously in the past for you guys over the years and done a lot of special teams too, but at running back specifically, what does he give you guys? What has he given you guys that makes him capable at that position?
I think Brandon has shown the ability to play on all three downs. You know, he can run, he can pass protect, he can play in a passing game and catch. And he's a smart player. He can handle, you know, a volume of offense and formations and assignments and so forth. So I think he's a pretty versatile player. You know, again, some players, especially the running backs, I mean, you only have so many. Basically, there's only one in there at a time for the most part, most formations. So to play, you know, four or five, six guys, however many you have on your roster in one game, is chopping it up pretty thin. So sometimes we feel like it's better to, you know, give one guy a longer dose in this game and not play another player and then maybe reverse or switch those around in other games. So I think at that position, you know, kind of like the quarterback position, you know, can only pretty much have one guy out there. So now sometimes their roles are different, the third down back and the first down back. And so that's really two guys, not one, if that's the way the roles are chopped up. But if they're not, if you're looking at a player like Brandon or, you know, I'd say several of the other backs on our team that are capable of playing on all three downs, then it's, you know, it's hard for them to get enough work in one game unless you give it to one or two guys and then change the batting order the next time.
Any update on
James Devlin? Saw him yesterday. You know, doing well. He's got a good attitude. And was happy to see him. Good to be back. It's good to see him back here.
Bill, how concerned are you that you don't have a starting quarterback right now, and how much confidence do you have in Jimmy Garoppolo?
We're going out to practice today with all the players that'll be out there, and that's who we'll work with.
But is it difficult for you not to be able to say, this is going to be my starting quarterback right now, because you don't
know? Right now, we're practicing with all the players that are out there. We have good depth at that position. We have good depth at a lot of positions. Not everybody's out there. Players that aren't out there won't practice, obviously.
Over the course of your career, what do you think is the most important thing you've done to evolve as the game has changed so much from when you first got into the NFL to, you know, decades later?
I don't know.
Tonight, you guys have the annual gala. I know you have a lot of stuff going on, but you always make the time to be there. Players are there. What does that mean to you? This is what the 13 I think you've done, but maybe you've done all your years here.
Yeah, I believe I have. Well, yeah, I mean, this is one of the two, you know, big events for the charitable foundation, and it's an opportunity for all of us to give back to the foundation, which in turn gives back to the community. And the Kraft family has been very generous, and they've done a great job touching so many people and organizations in this area, and on behalf of the team. And so we're all part of that. And it's always usually a few smiles come out tonight and see some personalities from maybe some of the guys we haven't seen in that venue before. So, and again, it's great to appreciate all the people, the individual people in particular, as well as the corporations and sponsors and so forth. But those are all people that make those decisions. So to, you know, talk and see and, just converse with them is, you know, it's good too, because we have great support on a lot of levels here. And a lot of those people are season ticket holders or support the organization in other ways. So, you know, it's good to recognize them.
When you look at the edge defenders, guys like Chandler, how do they complement each other in their game within your defense?
I think they're all kind of like you said, they're all a little bit the same position they play at the end of the line, but then they're all a little bit different because they can do other things besides that. So that gives them, you know, added value. It also gives our defense a little bit more versatility. So whether that's moving to inside positions or whether it's moving to off the line or outside positions, or in Rob's case, you know, the value that he also gives us in a kicking game, like snapping against Green Bay last year. I mean, that was a huge, huge role for us in that particular game. So, it's great to be good at one thing. It's also great to have flexibility and versatility from those players who can help us in other areas. And, you know, it's hard to play three guys on the end of the line when you only have two end of the lines. So finding something for that third guy where you have the potential to have all three of them on the field at the same time or more, which I'd say there's been cases where we've had, you know, multiple defensive end types, if you will, doing different things, then that, you know, can create some flexibility and I think change the look for the offense a little bit too, you know, the type of athletes that those guys are. So, we try to build our repertoire with them, try to build a wide base so we can use them in different ways so that they can have more value to the team but also give our team more flexibility. So that's been a good position for us. You know, Vrabel was in that category, certainly. Rob's fallen into that category. McGinnis, another guy, you know, guys that have played that spot have been able to do, in some cases, quite a few things for us. And that's been helpful.
You never thought of having Willie's long snap?
Probably could, though. It probably could. I play pretty much every position on the front seven, you know, in college, or really probably at one time or another for us. He was outside, he was inside, played outside linebacker, played off the ball in some certain packages, not on a long, steady basis, but, you know, in certain packages he was an off-the-line linebacker. So, you know, he was very athletic player with a lot of versatility, and he had the power and explosion to go with it, which made him able to, you know, play down, you know, against bigger people. Okay. All right. Yep. Thank you.